Merry Christmas, and come back soon.
Hey, boss. You know the Christmas baking contest you're always talking about?
Uh-huh.
Ta-da!
The Royal Family of Belgravia invites you to compete in our Christmas baking competition.
Can you believe it? It's the Nutcracker.
Christmas is a magical time of year.
I just wish I had someone to spend it with.
Christmas wishes have been known to come true.
I am so sorry.
No problem.
Who are you?
Lady Margaret Delacourt, Duchess of Montanaro.
Stacey DeNovo.
I think we were destined to run into each other. I'm supposed to marry Prince Edward on New Year's Day, but I hate being in the spotlight. I want to get to know what it's like to be a normal girl. I want to switch places with you.
Switch places?
I become you, and you become me. Get out. It'll only be for 2 days. No one would even notice.
Stacey DeNovo, how's it hanging?
How's it hanging? A bit much, is it? I suppose it's time, if you say so.
Ah, here you are.
Here I am.
I'm determined to spend as much time together as we can over the next few days.
How smashing.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Breakfast is ready.
You never burn anything.
I guess I'm a bit nervous with the big contest coming up.
Here we go.
Whoa.
Oh, are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep a close eye on the Duchess. She seems, different.
Terribly sorry. That wasn't very dignified.
It's all right. Quite liked it, actually.
Christmas should be about love.
I've never seen you so sentimental.
Well, maybe you don't know me that well.
Oh, I didn't think things would get so complicated.
So, what do we do?
I don't know if I can keep this up.
Everything okay?
Yep. I'm great. All right, welcome to the penultimate stocking stuffer of the year. This is episode lucky number 13, the second to last, and it is the last episode as a pair, if you will. Now, this is not a guest star. This is the, what would you call it, permanent roommate who's been subletting her position at the recording booth, if you will. I'm Emily, and with me today is none other than Christine.
Hi. Yeah, so if you're for some reason a Christine purist, which, I mean, I get that
they're
exists.
Out there.
It doesn't.
It does.
But, like, honestly, go back and listen to the episodes with guests and stuff, because I was genuinely surprised who was on this podcast.
Oh, and there's more coming.
And, like, oh my gosh, and like super jazzed. Mm. So like, do it, because yeah,
it's fun. I mean,
have fun.
I really did treat it this year as if I was hosting my own Christmas special, and you know, there was a knock at the door and there was somebody caroling, and oh my god, it's Jason, or you know, it was I treated it as these are special guest stars who I'm bringing in, and they get their own little intro in the opening. I wish in hindsight I could go back and do like a whole production number like Pee-wee's Christmas special to introduce all of my guest stars, but you know, next year is another year, right?
It's very exciting.
Yes.
So I've been excited to listen to ones that I'm not on, which is something that I do. If I'm on it, skip. But ones that I'm not on, I will listen to. And I'll say, how have you felt about the movies you've watched this year?
Up and down. I think we have not had the same, I think the most disappointing thing is when they're mediocre.
Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be like the high highs and
right.
The low lows.
Yeah. And that's been this season as a whole. It's been a lot of middling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are, because at the time we're recording this, I obviously haven't released everything yet. And there is at least one that's just like terrible, but really fun to talk about. So that's going to be out soon. And then there's like another kind of really mediocre one. But then we're going to end on a high note. I promise you that. We're going to end with an exciting one.
Nutcracker 3D.
Oh, I mean, what? You know what? Why are we even talking about a Princess Switch today? Why don't we just pause everything, pull up Nutcracker in 3D, watch it in 2D, and then talk about that one?
Please,
we can do it. We can do it. I really, if on my tombstone, if I have a tombstone, I don't really need one. I don't want to be buried. I want to be donated to science. But if I get a tombstone, I want it to say, like, Emily and Travia, 1982 to 1997. You know, loving wife and aunt and friend and sister and cat mother and bringer of Nutcracker in 3D to people that deserved it. Or didn't deserve
I'm just gonna erect a huge monument of
John Turturro's hair in that movie.
One of the disturbing things from that movie, and just put your name on it, and people will be like, "I don't get it."
And then they'll like be forced to go investigate, and then that will have them watch The Nutcracker, The Untold Story, and it will all be good.
Oh, that movie!
It's such a good one. But yeah, overall, it's been a more muted year, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, maybe not to spoil anything, and I don't know, maybe you felt differently, but I think the movie we're covering today is kind of a perfect example of that.
Yeah. So we're talking about Princess Switchin', the Vanessa Hudgens movie on. It's not just on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's a Netflix original from 2018.
Excuse me. Okay. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's all right here in the title.
Yeah, I mean, you get it. There's a princess and there's a not princess. Not only is there a not princess, but she's a baker. So it is everything you need. If you're playing bingo with this movie, you're done right there. And what do you know, for reasons that are vaguely explained by a common cousin, they look exactly alike. Like, perfectly alike.
Like, same weight, same tone.
And that's the thing.
Same skin tone. Right? Yeah. Like, I think that if I had a relative that lived a completely different life, like, if I was a baker and they were, like, a monarch, and, like, we lived in different parts of the world, and, like, maybe I do Pilates and she, you know, is a weightlifter. Yeah. We look different.
We're not going to
be carving copies of the same person.
Exactly. And not even to mention, like, this is a movie that has Vanessa Hudgens playing a baker. And apparently a very good baker, which is unbelievable because she has clearly never even sampled anything she bakes.
Look, I have a big problem with some of the baking in this movie, but I digress. I'm getting ahead of myself.
We should, I guess, go through the plot of it. So,
yeah.
What is it? Stacy is the baker in Chicago.
Yep.
And Stacy is like, doesn't take chances and lives a very boring life as a baker. And the only like friend she has or only person in her life is her best friend / sous chef, Kevin. And Kevin has a precocious little daughter named Olivia. And Kevin had entered them into a baking competition that is hosted every year in the country of Belgravia. Am I saying it right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. You know, one of these fictional European countries where everybody is British.
As you do. Yes.
This is, by the way, the third fictional European country where everybody is British movie of this year that I've covered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Second one by Netflix. So they go to Belgravia for the baking competition. And what do you know? Not only is Stacy a successful baker, but she has a doppelganger named Lady Margaret, who is a duchess of a, what is her country's name? Like Mondavi, like, what's that, that like cheap wine is like Robert Mondavi, like she's from like Mondavia or something, right?
Mondovia or something like that?
Yeah, something. It sounds
look,
very
I didn't take notes.
I did, but I didn't take them well. It sounds like a cross between the country from A Princess Diaries and the country that was in Once Upon a Holiday from like 4 years ago, which had a really similar sounding fake European name. So Princess Margaret is supposed to marry Prince Edward, right? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, something like that. Because, like, and she's basically, like, Princess Di-esque, you know, has been raised to be a duchess and to marry somebody important. And the problem is, like, it's an arranged marriage. They don't really know each other. They've only met once or twice. And Stacy has never, like, or I'm sorry, Lady Margaret's never, what, gotten to be normal?
I guess. Like, she's just like, I think she says something about, like, this is going to be like my country and I want to walk among the people.
Okay.
Or some such shit. So she, which all of this seems very nefarious as it's beginning. Like, she seems like she's got something up her sleeve.
Yeah, like she's actually going to drug mule Stacy or
right,
something.
I half expect her to, like club her over the head.
Ooh,
and, like,
God,
I don't know, it
movie.
Felt very, like, very, I don't know, dark. There was, like, weird delivery issues mm-hmm. with Vanessa Hudgens and, like, Vanessa Hudgens has, like, Monarch Vanessa Hudgens has, like,
a British accent, kind of.
Oh, well, I have so much to say about that. She has, like, this lady with
this
her.
Lady in waiting.
Yeah, and the lady also seemed like she was going to murder Baker Vanessa Hudgens and, like, eat her. It was
ooh,
such
like, wear
this,
her
like,
face, yeah.
It was, like, a really weird, like, but, I mean, that show.
Oh, my God, this could have gone down a route where you had, like, a Princess Di body swap. You know, some people say Princess Di didn't die in that car.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And Zach even said, sometimes this feels like Face Off. Because it, like, it had this weird tone to it. But that's not enough to get you to watch this movie. I'm not recommending
right,
it at all.
Right, yeah.
Just because
overselling
sometimes
it by a lot.
No. Just because somebody seems untrustworthy doesn't mean that this is, like, an interesting, subversive film that you should look at. Because it's not.
No, by no means. So they switch places. Stacy, as Lady Margaret, ends up kind of falling for the prince. And Lady Margaret, as Stacy, ends up falling for Kevin.
Yep.
And in the course of 2 days, now two days, that is 48 hours, and not all
I mean, max, 48 hours max, because
yeah.
they went back to
like,
each other's
they
lives
went to sleep.
At midnight.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah. But in that time, in those 2 days, both of these women fall madly in love with these two men. Who fall madly in love with them. And I get that there are, like, really intense romantic things that can happen, but what are the odds? What are the odds, Christine?
Well, I would say that the gentleman falling in love with the ladies isn't as surprising because ooh. They think they know them already.
Yes, that's a very good point. Yeah,
you're but
right.
the ladies don't know them at all. And I will say that this prince was much more handsome than the men in these movies tend to be. So, I'm not mad at her.
Okay. I found just, that's the other biggest problem of the season for me. I was doing, like, a best of list, and I realized, I'm like, wow, not a single love interest in these movies really did anything for me. Like, none of them are my type. They're always, like, very kind of pretty boys.
Yeah.
But, like, and even in this one, like, yeah, I mean, Edward Sam Palladio is attractive. Nick Sager as Kevin is attractive with weird hair. But neither one of them. Nope, for me. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. But, like, I was like, he's not that bad. And usually, like, I want to throw him out a window.
Mm. Okay.
But, like, he was okay. I don't know. This movie's, as strange as it is, it's very boring and middling.
It is one of the safest movies I have ever seen in my life. And as somebody who's watched a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies, that does say something.
It's like, there were a couple things that I'm not, like, patting myself on the back here, that, like, I completely called.
Yeah.
And like, I shouldn't be spotting them from the second the credits
right.
come up.
Yep.
Like, it shouldn't be that obvious. And I also didn't really like, look at me, saying things I didn't like about this movie. I thought it was unnecessary to have, like, I get that the baking challenge was, like, the catalyst to get her there.
Right.
But I didn't really understand why she had to have some kind of rivalry with another baker?
Yeah. So this movie is a little bit longer than your average Hallmark movie. This one clocks in at 100 minutes, which does go on too long. I think this that movie has pacing issues. And look, I was happy to have a villain because so few of these movies this year have had villains. And I'm simple. I like to have somebody that the movie wants me to hate on screen because I find it amusing. But nothing is done with it. And the same with the prince's man-in-waiting, his, like, whatever assistant servant, is set up as a villain because he's there and he's suspicious and he doesn't seem to trust anybody or, like, want to trust anybody. And you're like, oh, he's going to get his comeuppance. But instead, like, he just changes his mind and at the end of the movie is smiling and cheering on love like everybody else without any arc.
Well, It's funny you mention that because I felt the same way about the prince's dad, which I guess would be the king. He, for a minute, seemed like he was going to be trouble.
Yep.
And then he was like, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I was, oh, okay.
Who cares about this peace treaty that we brokered with this neighboring country that probably involved a lot of paperwork and meetings to marry our son off to, you know, the duke's daughter there? No, who cares? Yeah, marry the baker from Chicago. She's cute.
I thought they were going to do, like, a big reveal. Maybe I gave it too much credit plot-wise, but I thought, because there was that brief discussion at the beginning of, like, why do we look so much alike? Oh, we have this distant relative in common. I thought that like, maybe the lady, the lady that
lady
knew that
waiting.
They switched, yeah, that maybe she was, like...
Oh, and now, like, you're actually my daughter or something.
No, or like, found, like, oh no, I found out she's royalty too.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, oh, so the arranged marriage still stands, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I guess it just matters. Love was the most important thing.
Well, and we even have, like, a magical sprite in this movie, right? We have, like, the Rowan Atkinson-esque.
Explain that to me.
I can't, Christine, and I've watched a lot of these movies, and I can't tell you what's going on there. There is a character, Kindly Man is how he is credited in this movie, played by Robin Stones. Kindly Man, yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and he shows up in the beginning as, what is he?
Like a bell ringer.
Yeah, he's a bell ringer, then he's a janitor, then he's a stocking seller, then... And he's always, like, sort of giving, like, little nudges to characters to, you know, get to each other. But he is magical. I think he does something magical, maybe. I don't know. But there's no explanation of why he's there. Is he a guardian angel? Is he Santa Claus? Is he an elf? I don't know. The movie doesn't tell me.
No, and he just, it's not even like he's there at the end, at, like, the wedding to be, like, wink, wink,
exactly.
I helped in this. He just disappears. It's so weird.
All I needed at the end was, like, him walking away to the next country and looking at the camera and giving me a wink, and I don't even get that. Who was this man?
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of cool that, like, it was a reoccurring character that the second he wasn't on screen, you'd forget about, so when he showed back up, you'd be like, oh, this
guy, yeah.
But they could have at least, like, put a button on it.
And it could have been, like, cute. Like, it could have genuinely just been, like, him, at the end, he disappears, or just, like Rowan Atkinson in Love Actually. I'm going by that, where you have this character that I think, in the original script, is supposed to have, like, at the end, disappeared and been magical, but instead, like, he just shows up, I think, like, twice in the movie, and just sort of does this tiny little thing that nudges characters together. But even in this, like, he doesn't really even do that. It's just such an afterthought that clearly something was meant there that they just forgot about by the time they, like, sent the final reel off to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Very weird. All right, so should we just delve now into the tropes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I always forget your list, so I'm curious to see.
I'll go through it. This was, by the way, directed by Mike Rohl, who's done a lot of Lifetime TV stuff. Most notably to me, he directed the Made for Lifetime My Sweet Audrina adaptation from a few years ago.
Yes,
which was pretty bonkers and, like, fun and stupid and more interesting than this. Okay, our lead in need of a lesson. So what we have, you know, double the fun.
Both of them. You know what? All of them. Baker her, and the prince all need lessons.
Yes. What would you say those lessons are?
Well, Baker her needs to just cut loose.
Go with the flow.
And Duchess her needs to realize that sometimes you have to shirk your duties to have a good life.
Yeah.
And then the prince guy needs to learn how to wrap a Christmas present. Right? That's his arc?
I think so. Yeah, and in fairness, I mean, look... did I ever tell you about the only job in my life I've ever been sort of fired from?
I don't think so. Was it wrapping presents?
Yes. For charity.
I honestly think I would remember this.
So in high school, I was, like, volunteering. I think it was for the National Honor Society or something nerdy. And the volunteering was done at the mall where they had a gift wrapping station. And basically it was like people could come and it was suggested donation. And here, have a high school student wrap your presents for you. And I'm all there, like, I'm ready to do good and the money's going to a good place. And I'm there and the very first present's handed to me and it's a perfectly square box, which I think is the hardest thing in the world to wrap. And I wrap it, and I think I do an okay job, and I give it to the woman who's supposed to give it to the customer, and she looks at it, And then she looks at me, and she looks back at it. And then she looks at the man waiting for his present and says to him, "Sir, your present is finished, but, would you like me to rewrap this for you?" I'm standing
what?
Right there. I'm standing up straight, and then my shoulders just slump. And I hear the guy, who clearly was just, like, doing Christmas shopping for his family and was like, "Oh, yeah, charity, fine." And he's like, "No, well, it's fine." She's like, "Sir, are you sure?" And he's like, "Nah, I really don't care. It's fine. Thank you." And she turns to me as he walks away and, like, puts her hands together and looks at me and says, "Okay, Emily, why don't we start you on making bows?" So then I get demoted to the bow-making station, which is very hard. I don't really understand
honestly,
what I'm
that's
doing.
That's harder, right?
It's so much harder. Yeah. I try. I probably, like, cut my finger and bled all over wrapping paper or something. So after a few attempts at that, she says to me, "Emily, you know, I really think you've done great today. I think we have all the help we need. Why don't you go enjoy the mall?" Yeah, I got fired from a volunteering gift wrapping job. Only time I've ever been fired in my life. So what all this goes to say that I understand Prince Edward.
You understand his plight.
I do. I do. I think it's okay. Now, what did you think of Vanessa Hudgens? Because you're a Vanessa Hudgens super fan, right?
Ha! I've seen So You Think You Can Dance.
I've seen your tattoo.
She's a judge on So You Think You Can Dance. And she's also in the High School Musical movies, and so Zac Efron. So I've never found her as charming and charismatic as other people, but, like, I want to.
Yeah, I never thought much of her, in part because of High School Musical. And I actually really enjoy, I've only seen the first two. I love those movies, but I think she is kind of the weak link in them. She's very bland.
Yeah,
she's, I mean, she's gorgeous, and you can see why she would be cast. But Zac Efron's great in the, like, you could see him being a, he's a star. Ashley Tisdale is the best thing in those movies. And so I've always found her very underwhelming. I did, she rose in my estimation when she did Grease Live. I thought she was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
She was the best
that.
Thing in it. And it was also, like, kind of a, like, sad story because her dad passed away that, like, the day of. And she really was the best thing in that. And she's in the Fox is doing Rent Live, and I'm like, oh, okay, and she's playing Maureen. So I'm like, okay, good casting. That's maybe this is what she can do. So I was disappointed that she was so blah in this.
She is, but let me I know we're getting tangential, but I did just want to bring this up. There was a thing that she did, and I don't know if she was doing it on purpose. So I will say that I didn't mind her British accent at all. I thought it was fine. I thought she did a fine job with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's movie British, so sure.
Yeah, like, it was fine. She was consistent. Yeah. But what I thought was interesting, now try to follow me here. Mm-hmm. When she was, when Margaret was actually Stacy, sometimes it sounded like a person trying to do a British person trying to do an American accent.
Okay.
Isn't that weird? Why would she, like, do you think that was a choice?
Or you're saying when Margaret is playing American, it sounded like she was putting on an accent.
Yes, she didn't sound like Stacy.
Which I think is good.
Did she make a choice?
I'm sure she did. Like, that, I mean,
I will say that was the best part of this movie for me.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, she is playing a character who is pretending to be a character. So she should have sounded different.
That's diabolical.
I mean, it's I think, a good choice for an actor to make and to pull off. So I guess I can give her a little more credit than I was going to give
but
her.
Like, sometimes you would like, Stacy Prime would have been talking, and then you would go to a scene, and that would be Margaret pretending to be Stacy.
Yes.
And it would sound like she sometimes would have this little hint of, like, an accent come out, or she'd say a word weird. And I was like, ooh, this is neat. What's happening here?
I like it. I like that. I think that's a good choice.
If that's what she was doing on purpose, then I really enjoyed it. I'll write her a letter.
She does look, I mean, she's very pretty. Princess Margaret's, like, wardrobe, which is very Princess Diana, Meghan Markle, all that.
Yeah.
Like, they were some cute little ensembles, I thought. Although, then she wears the same one 2 days in a row, which seems very wrong for a princess to be.
No, it was weird. The outfit that they played Twister in, I really liked her shoes. That being said, it was, like, I'm supposed to believe it was cold because there was snow everywhere.
Oh.
She needed something on her legs,
Yeah.
especially because she was reading to children.
And
Like,
riding in a carriage, right? Like, she
yeah,
gets
like
that. They
she
go
was.
on a Christmas carriage and it is snowing outside, and she is not wearing any pantyhose.
I just need something to cover that delicate flesh
Yes,
for
I agree.
her.
I agree. It was very cold outside.
Or it wasn't, because no, you could
Yeah.
never see anybody's breath. I don't know.
Well, that
Who
brings us to
knows?
number two, which is our setting. And in this case, it is essentially a magical winter wonderland, fictional European country. And the most magical part about it is the weather situation, right? Because even
It
like,
seems positively balmy, but there's
right?
snow everywhere.
Well, and it's snowing outside, and she is in a strapless dress and goes and sits
Oh.
outside in the. Was that a heated gazebo?
Yes, it's one of the centrally heated
I guess
gazebos.
so. Hey, when you're a country as wealthy as Bulgravia, I guess you can afford such things. This and also, of course, we had Chicago, and we know Stacy is from Chicago because she wears a hat that says Chicago.
Yep.
Like right now, you're wearing a baseball hat that says Seattle, right?
Yeah, that's how
Yeah.
I know. That's how I don't get
Yeah, my
confused.
podcasting hat says New York City. Just in case we ever, in case you and I ever princess swatch switch body swap princess switch, we'll know where we all who we are based on our labeled hat, definitely. All right, so number three, our bland love interest. So we have two. I found them both pretty bland.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was mildly charmed, probably because I was grasping for anything
Sure.
by the prince. But yeah, they were bland as fuck.
So, what did you think of the sous chef, Kevin?
I thought he was fine. I didn't think that him or his daughter were anything more than stock characters in
Yeah.
one of these movies, which was a bummer because like the little actress seemed great, but they didn't give
Agreed.
her anything. Like,
Yeah.
oh, she's going to be the one that knows that they switched, but then that doesn't pay off at
No,
all.
no. Yeah, agreed. I thought the actor was appealing. I think, again, I've watched enough of these where some of the guys just have a good presence here and some don't. And I
Yeah.
thought like, oh, I liked him. I liked, he was black, which again, we don't get often in these movies. But again, just there's nothing there, which is kind of disappointing. Number four, the montage. We did have a montage. It was a practicing trading places montage.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the montage.
Yeah, where we have to see them both like try to be each other together, and I kind of like that.
It was goofy. It was
Yeah.
goofy. Yeah.
Dead parents. We do have dead parents.
We definitely do.
Duchess's parents are dead, and they taught her about duty, and now she's all stuck on duty because of her dead parents.
Yep.
Number six, the sassy sidekick. Well, I guess our lady in
I'm
waiting.
gonna s yeah, and the little girl,
Yeah,
she was
you're right.
like,
She very much serves that part.
yeah, she because she knows she's in on it, and she is like, I don't know, giving her looks and if but even she didn't do that
Yeah, she
well.
wish she didn't get enough to do.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm with you.
I don't know, but I would say that qualifies. Have
Yeah.
we picked them all so far then?
Not yet. There's three more that we have to go, or no,
Okay.
four more.
But so far we've hit all of
So
them.
far, we got everything. Yeah.
Okay. Whoa, this is major.
Cool, because the next is the evil woman or evil boss character, and we do have an evil woman.
We do have any. They must have seen your list
I
and
think they
gone,
did.
like,
They were
let's
like,
put
you
something in
know,
here that this movie doesn't
we
need.
just need like 3 minutes in total of screen time for her. We're going to establish her as a rival, then we're going to have her try to sabotage Stacy, and that's it. And there's no comeuppance, right?
Nope.
Like she wins second place, she doesn't win the baking competition. Instead, Stacy does, but yeah, no anything. So
She dies alone? I don't
I
know.
maybe, I don't know. She chokes on her silver medal, who knows? Number eight, slapstick. So there's not a lot, but there's a very key moment that really bothered me, and maybe this will tie into what you said about this movie not really like understanding baking very well. At the beginning, when it's like when they're getting ready for the comp or like they get to the competition like 2 days before the competition because they're supposed to like set up their station and make sure everything's okay, and what's her name? So Evil Woman ends up like spilling something purposely on Stacy's apron, and Stacy's like, "Oh, I have to go change and clean off." It's an apron. Isn't that the point of an apron?
I said the same thing. And then I have so many things to say about this apron. And then the stain just kept moving around it. Like, it was really high, and then it wasn't. She also didn't react like somebody had poured boiling hot liquid on her. Nope. She very much was just more concerned about the staining. But again, it's an apron. Also, it was then like, I have to go get a new apron. But at the end of the baking competition, everybody's aprons coordinated to their chef's coats that had like a little bit of colored trim. Mm. So did she originally have a pink coat like that? Because she has a blue apron with a blue jacket. That bothered me more than it should.
Oh, I can understand all of these things. I was just bothered by like, it's like, oh, my napkin is dirty. Hand me another napkin so I can clean my napkin and then use my napkin. That's not what the purpose of it is.
I mean, yes, she, I thought that same thing. I said that same thing. Like, But it's an apron.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't seem like it spilled outside of the apron area either.
It was perfectly on the apron. So that was very frustrating. Yes. Number 9, our sage old person.
Yes. This mystery man.
This little elfin creature who just floats around Belgravia doing charming things.
Oh, and he's in Chicago, too. That's one of my favorite lines. So he's in Chicago, and he gives, like, Baker, Vanessa Hudgens, some, like, sage words of wisdom. And she's like, And then she goes to Belgravia and sees him again, and she's like, didn't I just see you in Chicago? And he's like, me in Chicago? How is that possible? She was just in Chicago, and now she's here. Why wouldn't that be possible? She got on a fucking plane.
Maybe he doesn't have a passport, so he was like, no, I couldn't have been in Chicago. Don't tell the authorities I was in Chicago.
What a weird stance to take.
Didn't make any sense, no.
Like, oh, no, I've never actually been to the States. Great. Perfect. Don't make it be like this is crazy
weird
idea.
Nobody's ever come from Chicago to Belgravia.
What? She did.
Yes.
Weird.
It's a very good point. We also have the sassy sidekick, Margaret's lady in waiting, kind of serves this part too, because she does give some important, like, because Margaret's whole thing is like, duty. I have a duty to the prince. And her assistant, whatever, is like, well, the crest doesn't say anything about duty, does it?
So, yeah.
You know. And then the queen. You want to talk about the queen?
Oh, I don't necessarily understand her.
I don't either. I got excited because I'm like, oh, another good queen. Like, another, like, kind of, like, style. First of all, stylish. Like, I liked her look. Like, she looked like a queen. And coming off of Alice Krieg in the Royal Christmas Prince movies, I'm like, oh, okay, I like this, like, trope that we're going to keep having of, like, a classy queen.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds out about the, you know, body swap thingy. And rather than, like, talk to her son about it or talk to the king about it or do anything about it, she just kind of then is like, you know what, deal with it. I'm going to make sure that you have to face this publicly in front of the whole kingdom. But I think she does it for a good reason. Like, I think it's like, oh, because I can tell that by learning the truth, everything will be okay. But there's no...
It was a strange choice.
Yeah.
Because she didn't... She seemed to be supportive.
She seemed supportive, but didn't get to express that in any shape or form.
Yeah.
It was just...
Maybe that would have been helpful for her,
I think,
to just
so
be, like, quietly supportive.
Yeah, or just don't even bother with the king and queen and just have it be the magical elf dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Because, like, ultimately, what they did is pretty fucked up, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It doesn't... It's not the best way to go about something.
Yeah. Like, and I guess it's kind of, on one hand, almost refreshing that the men aren't like, I can't believe you did that to me. Because you get that in a lot of these movies of men overreacting to things women do. But at the same time, it's also like, okay, so there's no, like, the country is kind of embarrassed because this happened on public TV. Like, nothing.
It really was strange. It's strange that no one seemed to have reservations. I did kind of think it was interesting that it seemed like the conversation happened off screen.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, we all know now.
I guess.
Oh, okay. And everybody's cool. Yeah, everybody's cool.
And one year later, there's a wedding and it's all good. It's fine.
Like, okay. I mean, I have to take it at face value, right? Because, like, I have literally no other choice. This movie told me that this is what happened. But it's weird. It's weird that they like twist in the middle of a baking competition. Like, if I was a contestant, I'd be pissed. Like, what? This is the baking competition. Also, there's whole questions about, like, how people, I know that the whole, so you might be wondering, how did people not realize that this is a duchess? How did they not realize that she switched with somebody? They all know what she looks like. I mean, we know
well,
what.
Well, no, I guess, isn't that it? They say that kind of like nobody knew.
But they, that she was camera shy. Still.
Yeah.
She went to an, I know we only had 2 days, but still. Nobody was snapping pictures.
Yeah.
She was at an orphanage.
There are 37 people in this country. Not one of them recognized her.
It was just, that was just weird. I don't know. I'm being picky at this point.
Well,
is there another thing on the list?
Well, Santa Claus, which we don't have, and I assumed the magical, kindly old man was going to prove to be Santa Claus, but nope, not at all.
So we have a very explicit mention of Santa Claus.
True, yes.
So Duchess Vanessa Hudgens and Kevin, yeah, that's right, are sitting down to watch a Christmas movie, and she's like, they're like, what kind of movie? Anything with Santa. They all have Santa. Great. Adorable. Then what happened was what I can only imagine people seeing Inception, how they felt. They show the fucking TV they're picking out a movie on, mm-hmm. and it's got Netflix on it, people, with, like, you Nailed It is on there, and that Christmas Prince movie,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And I made Zach rewind it so we
We're in a wormhole.
Like I just got incepted. I'm watching Netflix inside Netflix.
Well, now this is the third Netflix movie that I did this year. All three of them do that. So, a Christmas Chronicle has a character watching Stranger Things.
Shut your mouth.
And A Christmas Prince Royal Wedding has a character sadly flipping through Netflix and settling and, like,
yes,
like
I knew
going
that.
Past things.
Yeah.
And now in this one, so we're going to jump, remember there's a bonus round. So the product placement, like, it is Netflix again. And what I love, like, it's not just they pick A Christmas Prince. They pick A Christmas Prince, talk about how it's the greatest movie of all time. She sobs watching it. And the best part about this, it, like, I can't believe they couldn't tweak this, like, in post. So, you know how, like, when you turn on a Netflix movie, the star rating comes up, and it's a star rating based on, like, what you've watched or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And it's out of 5 stars. And A Christmas Prince in this movie only has 4 stars.
But wait, it's not stars anymore, it's percentages.
Oh, but I feel like the screenshot I remember seeing was like 4 stars out of 5.
Whoa.
So, Grant, but remember, this movie was filmed like 8 months ago.
It's been percentages for a while because I've been upset about it ever since it happened.
Oh, okay.
Some of us took a really long time to cultivate our ratings so that our stars and our recommendations would be accurate, and then they just threw them out the window and gave everything percentages. Yeah. That being said, I will be going back and looking at that.
Okay. See, I think I told you, I don't rate movies on Netflix because I don't – it just isn't going to work out. Because my problem is, if I were to rate movies based on, like, it's in part why, you know, we do quality of life, quality of film, because, like, WrestleMania is a bad example because that would be 5 stars out of 5, but, like, another talking dog movie that's terrible, I should give 1 star, but if I give it 1 star, Netflix is going to think I don't want talking dog movies, and they're going to stop recommending them to me.
Yep.
So it was always a challenge, so I just never rated movies is how I went through that.
That makes sense, because look what ended up happening. Now there's these percentages that don't mean anything.
Chaos reigns. Other bonuses, public domain holiday songs.
There were a lot of holiday songs.
There were.
Would you consider those public domain?
Oh, yeah. Well, because it was Deck the Halls is public domain. The Nutcracker.
Yeah,
anytime you hear
true.
Any music from the Nutcracker, it's because it's public domain. So they're going to use it. That's why you hear Nutcracker Suite or Sugar Plum Fairies in pretty much every Christmas movie. And Carol of the Bells is also not
That's
something you
true.
Have to pay for. And and they play that on the piano. I love and hate Carol of the Bells. I actually, like, I'm afraid of it. I think it's so scary sounding. And every time I hear it, I think of a bunch of children with ice picks running after me.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's dark.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that in a past life, I was murdered while that song was playing.
I mean, it is kind of an ominous song.
Isn't it? It's the minor key that just keeps building and building and building. All right, other bonuses. The cloying child. I think we both liked the kid. She was okay.
She was fine.
Yeah. Ice skating. Yeah, just like in the opening city montage, you saw some ice skating, but that was it.
Yeah.
Canadianisms. I didn't catch any. Did you?
No.
Same. Characters with Christmas names. No, but can we talk about the idea of a Queen Stacy?
Yes.
Right?
That is funny, yeah.
Yeah, and like in the other Christmas movie, it's a Queen Amber, which equally, like, just such modern American names that just do not sound right as Queen.
No. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Because that's true. Like, she is now.
Yeah, she's going to be Queen Stacy. Christmas. The rest I don't think we had. I don't think we had Christmas tree lighting, karaoke, or actors not knowing how to pretend to hold a coffee cup that doesn't actually have coffee in it.
No, there was. I thought like all the cup work was pretty solid.
Yeah. More experience here than I guess other movies where some of them really need to go to cup holding school.
Yeah, like learn to hold a cup.
Yeah,
everyone.
Seriously. All right, and then I'll go into a IMDb review. I'd like to pull up one that amuses me. There are a lot of reviews for this movie.
Are there really?
Yeah. People like the Netflix, so they watch them, and they write about them.
So
this one comes to us courtesy of Malin Svensson Hofoss, whose the title of her review is, "Even Made a Grinch Like Me Cry and Feel That Yuletide Spirit." Yuletide, spelled Yuelltide.
Yep.
Like Fueltide. Okay, you ready to hear what Malin thought about this movie?
I mean, that was just enough. I can't wait to hear what else she has to say.
Christine Malin says, "I hate Christmas movies, and I don't like Christmas, but I loved this movie. It is a simple movie, simple script, simple acting, although the acting actually is more than good enough. Sam Palladio was basically born to play Prince Charming, and Vanessa is decent and at times more than so. But it is the simpleness and the essence of this movie that will bring you a smile on your face and maybe even a tear. The classic, but never to turn old, love is the most important thing. Even I, a Grinch, can't not admit its effect. A wonderful, sometimes funny, always heartwarming, and easygoing Christmas movie for me and to all." I spend way too much time reading IMDb movie reviews by users. I need to stop. It's a problem. But I can't stop. It's like that period of time when I discovered public access TV and couldn't stop watching. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. It's genuinely dangerous, but I can't help myself. I just can't.
That was a weird review.
It's very weird. And I want to know
like,
more.
It's like taking a big stance and then like going out of its way to not back it up.
Very much. There are 107 user reviews on this one. I do not know why so many, because it's not that memorable a movie. But it somehow, I guess, struck a nerve for 107 people.
It wasn't awful, but it was overlong and boring.
Yes. Yeah. In my rankings, you know, I kind of put together my list of where it falls. This I have pretty low this year. I think this one I put at number 10 out of 14 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I might even bump that back to 11. Christmas and, yeah. Because it's just, for, again, I feel like Netflix almost at this point should be held to a higher standard because they don't have the same restrictions that Hallmark does. Like, they can have a little bit riskier content without necessarily like it being an R-rated thing. Like they're just not as beholden to network standards.
Yep.
You know, so they can like talk about sex a little more, do something. They have a little more money. They clearly have, you know, slightly bigger actors. And when I look at this next to the other two Netflix ones I did this year, which were A Holiday Calendar and Christmas Prince 2 and Christmas Chronicles, if you want to count that one, the other two romances were so much better and just more interesting and had something to them that this one just doesn't. So this one felt like it could have been a Hallmark movie, and I don't say that in a good way.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Like, I kind of was hoping it would be more fun, whether because it was genuinely good or because it was like stupid and goofy. It just didn't bring the fun.
Yeah, I hear you. But I still had fun talking about it with you.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
I'm glad I watched it.
Now, okay, here's, I really always like to put like ultimatums up to, whoever I'm podcasting with. So I want to ask you, you watched two of these movies, for this show this year.
Yes.
You watched this one and you watched Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. If you had to unsee one of them, which one would it have been?
Girlfriends Past.
Okay. Just because it was so bad.
It was, and it made me mad.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you.
Like, this one was just kind of, like, there.
Yeah.
And I might forget that I ever watched it, which, I mean, is whatever. It's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, like, brings, like, makes me, like, make a crinkle, angry face when I think about it.
I'm with you. Because the other one, as much as, like, to compare it to something like the Golden Retriever Christmas movie I did this year with Kevin, where it's really dumb and it's a terrible movie, but it's so bad that it is enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're right, Girlfriends of Christmas Past is bad and inept and mean and has a weird streak to it, and I think is very hateful towards women and all those things. So
yeah, it takes some weird stances that I just don't need to see in a lighthearted movie.
Yeah,
it also didn't make any sense.
I would like you to put something on your calendar for next year, because when in 11 months I have to start, you know, stocking stuff for season all over again, I am pleased to inform you that A Christmas Kiss 2 is on Hulu. And I'm sure it will stay there for a while. So I, you know, am going to say right off the bat, you know, I don't like to usually plan too much ahead, but I'm totally planning ahead that you and I are doing A Christmas Kiss 2 next year.
Okay. Well, I won't remember anything about the first one. So.
You say that, but then a character is going to pick up a coffee cup as if it has coffee in it, only not acting as if it has coffee in it. And you're going to be like, oh yeah, that movie.
Oh, it's all coming back like that Celine Dion song.
Ha ha ha. All right, that was The Princess Switch, which is on Netflix. We don't particularly recommend it, but we hope you had a good time with us anyway.
Bye.
Do you want to give any, like, parting New Year's wishes or holiday things to people while you leave, Christine, or you're just saying bye?
I don't know. Don't watch this movie. I haven't seen that Prince one. Maybe give that one a try instead. People seem to like it.
Yeah.
That one person that watched it, like, 800 times or whatever. You know what? Have a good new year.
And not to mention that a character in the movie we watched seemed to really enjoy it as well. So if you don't take our word for it, take Vanessa Hudgens number 2's word for it, right?
Yes. Duchess Vanessa Hudgens seemed to really dig it.
1 out of 2 Vanessa Hudgensens really enjoyed A Christmas Prince 2. So.
I mean, so like just whatever, do it.
Why not?
I don't celebrate the Christmas. I'm not really into it that much. But if you do, that's cool. If you celebrate something else, that's cool. If you don't celebrate anything and you just want to eat a whole pie,
ooh, nice.
Like, just fucking do it. That's what I'm going
to
do.
I think this episode is going to be released on Christmas Day.
Well, I mean, good on you, everyone.
You know, the people deserve your voice on this day, whether they celebrate Christmas or don't. Because if they don't celebrate it, it's probably a really annoying day because they're dealing with everybody else celebrating it and everything is closed. And it's like when I want to order Chinese food on Easter and suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize the Chinese food place celebrated Easter and now I can't get Chinese food.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you enjoy, Christine. This was my gift to you people, Christine talking about Vanessa Hudgens.
I wish it was more fun to talk about, but this movie is boring.
No. All right, well, happy holidays, folks.
Yeah, goodbye.
I'm spending Christmas with my prince. Ever since we met, each day is Christmas with my prince. I won't forget these moments, feeling safe and warm, even in the storm. Snowflakes falling, good friends calling, Christmas with my prince, decorating everything, it's Christmas with my prince. It's so romantic when you're sitting by the fire, with your heart's desire, popcorn streaming, carolers singing. He never looked so dashing, wearing his velvet suit. He's says that I look smashing. I say he just looks cute. I'm spending Christmas with my prince. Mince pie, presents piled high, means it's Christmas with my prince. And hand in hand we're standing at our perfect tree, happy as can be. It's still snowing, I'm still blowing. Strung with bows, chestnuts in the air. We won't need the mistletoe, although I've hung it every